for the men. I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And the Lord put on my heart tonight that I want to talk about make your calling and election sure. You know, God gives every believer a general call how we should live and conduct ourselves. And then he gives us a specific call about what we are to do, where we are to go, to whom we are to serve, and what shall we be. Now, tonight we're going to deal with more of the general aspects of the call, but every believer has a call. Say, I'm called. All right. God has a special plan for you. And as we grow in the Lord, you'll move from the general calling to the more specific calling. But we all start off in a general sense, and then as we walk with the Lord, as we follow Him and fellowship with Him, then He moves us into a more specific direction, more specific instruction, it's a little bit more streamlined. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. When you hear the word diligence, what do you think about? What do you think about when you hear the word diligence? Do your best. What else? Don't give up. What else do you think about when you hear diligence? Persistence. Work. All right, those are all good things. Now he's telling us here, he's telling us, who's going to give diligence to your call? You are, right? You mean, I can't have someone give diligence for me for my call? No, it doesn't work that way. I wish it would work that way, but it doesn't. And he just got done giving a list here. And let's go back up to verse 4. Well, verse 5. Let's go to verse 5. And he's talking about things that we can add to our faith. He said, and beside this, giving all diligence. Everybody say, all diligence. All diligence. And he says, add to your faith virtue or moral excellence. And to your virtue, knowledge. To your knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, say and abound. And abound. You know, notice that these things have to be growing, they have to be increasing, and it's up to us to add these things to our faith. All right? He said that you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he that lacks these things. The people who lacks these things are the non-diligent ones. They haven't taken the time or the effort to add these things to their faith. Therefore, he says, they're blind, they cannot see afar off, and they forgot that they were purged from their old sins. Wow. But then, and we get to the verse 10 here. He says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, what things? The things that you're supposed to add to your faith. Faith plus fruit of the Spirit plus character. Those things make your calling and election sure. Firm, fixed, steadfast. All right? Now, God is not schizophrenic. All right? God is not bipolar. God doesn't have multiple personalities. All right? So when God calls you, it's really an invitation. It's really an opportunity. And God will never twist your arm to obey that call. He'll never force you. He might give you some heavenly persuasion. You know, Jonah, He was persuaded a little bit, wasn't he? God, what was his call? His call was to go to Nineveh. Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. He's like, ooh, Nineveh? I don't really like Nineveh. I don't like the people there. I don't like the climate there. I'm not going to go. What did he do? He went the other way. And while he was going the other way, what happened? He got on this boat and storm broke out. And finally, to make a long story short, they had to throw Jonah overboard. They threw everything else, all right? And then Jonah said, you know, I'm the problem, throw me overboard. Did God change his mind about what he called Jonah to do? Huh? You know, God could have said, well, I'm just going to get someone else. No, he wanted Jonah to do it. Just like he wants you to do some things. He wants you to be some things. All right? And God is not going to change his mind about your calling. So it's up to us to make our calling and election sure. Now, Christianity is not a sprint, but a marathon. All right? People train differently for a marathon than they would a sprint. Okay? A marathon, you have to pace yourself. It's longer. You have to conserve your energy to last the whole way through. Okay? Christianity is a journey. You have to get geared up and ready to go the full distance. See, Christianity is not for the weak and for the timid. The Bible says that you do not even have a spirit of timidity or fear, but you have one of power, love, and a sound mind. So when God calls people into Christianity, it's not a quick fix. It's a lifetime. God gives us a lifetime to be conformed to Christ. Okay? There is much to learn in becoming like Christ. Did you know that a person who gets born again, they don't become like Christ overnight? There's still things. Do you realize as long as we allowed ourselves to not follow God's principles, we have to unlearn some things, we have to relearn some things, and we have to learn some new things in our journey to become like Christ. Because really, ultimately, we're all called to be like Christ. Okay? So you got to take your time to build a strong building. I'm glad that they took time to make sure that this building was solid and secure. Because I don't know, up on this hill, you ever been outside where the wind whips? It's a little bit, the wind is a little bit more fierce up here than it is down on the road. And, you know, this building has been able to withstand. Why? Because they took the time to build it right on a good foundation. It's strong. It's solid. Okay? That's how our Christian life needs to be. And you got to take, you know, in following Christ, we can't cut corners. Part of making our calling and election sure is going through the process. You know that everybody is going to face a wilderness experience. You say, well, Pastor, I'm just going to bypass the wilderness experience. You know, Jesus didn't even bypass the wilderness experience. He spent 40 days in the wilderness. The Israelites, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. How long you want to spend in the wilderness is really up to you. If you can learn quickly, then your wilderness time will be shortened. But if you want to learn the hard way, God will make that wilderness time long. Okay? But we're all going to have a wilderness experience. But the wilderness is not where we camp out. The wilderness is just something we go through because there's something on the other side that God's calling us to. All right? Now, as much as we've missed God by being governed by our flesh, we got to learn how to possess our own vessel, right? We got to relearn some things. And we have to grow into Christ, all right? Christianity is a growth process. And as we grow, we got to add nutrients to our faith, all right? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And we're just going to look at some general things tonight about our calling, because we're supposed to make our calling and election sure. All right? Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, you know, whenever you see that word, you might want to consider what it's, you know, why it's wherefore. Wherefore, holy brethren. Notice he didn't say ministers, did he? He said brethren. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. So what kind of calling do we have? It's a heavenly calling. The calling that God has called all of us to is from heaven. It doesn't originate in this world system. It originates above, and it comes down to us. All right? It's a heavenly calling. All right? What is a calling? It's an invitation. It's to call aloud, to bid, to call forth, to urge on. You know, God wants to urge us on in some things. You know, one time, a good friend of mine, he was struggling. Some things weren't going like he thought they should be going. And he was a little bit down, and he had a vision of Jesus in his robe with pom-poms. And Jesus was cheering him on, saying, "You can make it." Now, that ministered to him. That touched his heart. Now, I've never seen Jesus with pom-poms, but, you know, did you know that Jesus will cheer you on? He's right there with you, cheering you on, saying, "You can make it. You can do this. You have a heavenly calling. You are called from heaven." All right? It's a heavenly calling. And this heavenly calling, you know, when you think of heaven, what kind of value do you place on heaven? Is there anything that is not right in heaven? Is there anything that is not good in heaven? Is there anything that is not perfect in heaven? So your calling that you have is perfect, it's good, it's not missing anything. There's nothing broken about what God is calling you to and me to. It's a heavenly calling, all right? It originates in a good place, all right? See, we're invited. God invites us to leave the bondage of sin and enter into the liberty of the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. See, before we knew Christ, we were held captive. We were arrested. Sin was our master. And we couldn't break free from this sin. Then Jesus Christ came. He gave his life as a sacrifice. And he invited everyone to participate in what he accomplished. Okay? The calling to come to Christ is an open invitation to whosoever will believe. Okay? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 8. He says, "And be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." You know, we don't have anything to be ashamed about of our testimony of the Lord. There's nothing shameful in being like Christ. There's nothing, Christ did nothing shameful. Actually, he was perfect. If there's anybody that we ought to pattern our life after, it is Christ. So we shouldn't be ashamed of our testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Say, "I'm called with a holy calling." See, everyone that is saved, what does it mean to be saved? It just simply means to make Jesus Christ your Lord. And everyone who makes Jesus Christ their Lord is called with a holy calling, not according to our works. You're not called according to how good you are, or how talented you are, or how gifted you are. You're called not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. God has a purpose just for you. It has been tailor-made. Elliot, you have a purpose by God that's been tailor-made just for you that only you can fulfill. All right? And He says, to His own purpose and grace. You know, without God's grace, we could not make our calling and election sure. Which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. So before the world began, God called you, Les. He called you, Julie, with a holy calling according to His own purpose and grace. God's got His own purpose for you, Mark. God's got His own purpose and grace for you, Neil. And Tony and Olga and Lorraine and Marianne and Mike and Nadine and Wanda and Erica and Michelle and Dennis and Jeffrey and Fiona. We all have a holy calling that is according to His own purpose and His grace. All right, now that's powerful. That's awesome. And everyone who is saved has this call. Now, this means that He calls us to a lifestyle of holiness. All right? If our calling is holy, then what we're called to is holiness. All right? We're called to live separated and consecrated lives. Okay, let's go on to verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And Paul, he says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, that's Paul's specific call. All right? The calling to Christ is a general call. But I'm not going to deal with the specific call. All right? Notice verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Notice that no matter what kind of things Paul experiences in this life, he's not about to trade in his call. See, too many people want to trade in their call for something easy, something comfortable, something likable, all right? But you know what? The call is not for wimps. When the tough get called, the tough get going, right? And you're called to fellowship with Jesus. And let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And see, this calling, being that it's an invitation, if you accept the invitation. Let me put it this way. When someone gives you an invitation to a party, what do you need to do? You need to respond to the invitation and either say yes or no. And if you say yes, then in one sense, you're obligated to show up because the person who gave you the invitation has made provisions that included you. And if you don't show up, then those provisions that were made for you go to waste. Same thing is true with God. When He gives you an invitation, He's made provisions for you. He's set some things up, set some things aside, got some things ready for you. And as you respond to that invitation, those things that He's had prepared for you are already in place. But if you don't respond, the things are still in place, but they're not being used like they should. All right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Did you ever pray that you would be counted worthy of this calling? Say, Lord, count me worthy of this calling. Do you realize, since it's a holy calling, since it's a heavenly calling, there's a lot of worth that God places on the call, on the invitation, on the bid, on the urging on. And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. Did you know that when you consider yourself worthy of his calling, his call involves good pleasure of his goodness? Our God is good. Say that. Say, God is good. And he has called you to share in his goodness and his pleasure. So when you respond to God's call, it's not going to be something that is not going to be any fun. And the work of faith with power. Those are things, you know, it's going to take faith for you to respond to God's call. To make your calling and election sure. You need to take ownership of your call. Take ownership of the general things that Christ has called you to. Make it your call. Take ownership of the call that God's given you. Don't think of your call as something way out here that you can't reach. No, it's already been given to you. Before the world began, God's call went out to the earth. Your call is already established. Whether or not you respond to it is up to you. Verse 12. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. We are called to let his name be glorified in us. That's the ultimate end result of our call. And that you in him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So he wants Christ to be glorified in you, and he wants you to be glorified in him. So in God's holy and heavenly calling, he shares his glory with us. So that Christ is glorified in us. We're kind of like the moon. The moon simply just reflects the light of the sun. It doesn't have light on its own, but it reflects the light that shines on it. Okay? And that's what we need to do. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're talking of the general call that is for every believer. We have any believers in the house tonight? Amen. So then I guess we're in the right place, talking to the right people. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace. Say, I have grace. Say, I have God's ability. Did he say that it's given to everyone? Then we all have some, right? Who measures the grace that we have? Christ. It's the gift of Christ. He measures it out. Some have more grace than others. But does that mean that people with more grace are more special? No. Whether you have 10 graces or 5 graces, it's what you do with the grace that you have that makes the difference. Because we know from the parable of the talents, one got 5, one got 2. They had different levels, but they both did something with what they had. They both got rewarded the same. Okay? So what are you doing with the grace that God's given you? What are you doing with God's ability that he's lending to us, that he's letting us use while we're here? What are we doing with God's grace? What are we doing with it? How are we using God's grace? It's just something to ponder. Okay? Now, let's go down to verse 11. Well, no, let's go back to verse 1. I'm sorry. Verse 1. Notice what Paul said here. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Do we consider ourselves a prisoner of God? You know, there used to be a difference between a slave and a bondservant. A bondservant was a slave who was set free, but they chose to stay with their master. And the bondservant who chose to stay with his master, they would pierce their ear. And they would, but as a bondservant, they wouldn't be considered a slave, they would be considered part of the family. And the bondservant would have the covenant relationship with their owner, that the owner would protect them, would care for them, would provide for them, just like any member of the family. And so Paul considers himself to be a prisoner of the Lord. And he beseeches you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. How do you carry yourself with this heavenly and this holy calling? We need to represent Christ in our calling. We're all called to Christ. We're called into fellowship with him. We're called to be holy. We're called to be a light in the world. We're supposed to let our light shine before men, that they see our good works and glorify who? Our God in heaven, right? Our Father in heaven. So how do we carry ourselves with this calling? He says, I beseech you that you walk worthy. Carry yourself as Christ carried himself. Are you walking in fear? Well, the Bible's very clear that we don't have a spirit of fear. So if you're walking in fear, why? Why are you letting fear dominate your behavior when fear is not even in your DNA? You have a choice. You don't have to walk in that fear. It's not in your DNA. You have a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. So how we carry ourselves in this calling, how we behave in our calling, is going to make a big difference. You know, people in the world are looking at how you carry out your calling. When they see Christians who don't act like Christians, does that help us win them to Christ? No. I mean, think about it. The world already serves Satan. He's selfish. He's arrogant. He's full of pride. He's a liar. They don't need someone like that. If the world sees us acting like that, they said, why should I change my master? I already got a master like that. They need to see a difference in us. We're called to be different. We're aliens, actually. You guys are resident aliens. You're not of this world. You're in it, but you're not of it. The Bible even says that we're not to let the world squeeze us into its mold. We're supposed to be transformed, different, metamorphosized. We're supposed to act different. How do we carry ourselves in this call? I beseech you that you walk worthy of this call. Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Everybody say long suffering. We don't like to display these attitudes, do we? Because the world is designed to be impatient. to be short, because the world is not adding to their faith virtue or knowledge or godliness or temperance or love or brotherly kindness. They're not adding those things to their faith. Therefore, they're blind, they're short-sighted, and they can't see. So we're supposed to carry ourselves in this call with lowliness, humility, meekness. The Bible said the meek shall inherit the earth. But meek is not weak. Meek simply puts its trust in God alone, not itself. And so, how we carry ourselves in this call? With long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do we really endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit? Or do we keep the unity of who's right or who's wrong in our calling? This was Paul's plea for us. We need to walk out the word. We need to put the word into practice, into demonstration. That's how we're going to walk in this calling. When you're working and your boss says, I need you to work an extra hour, Jesus said, if someone asks you to go 1 mile, you go 2. When someone asks you to do extra, you volunteer to do more. Why? Because your strength comes from the Lord anyway. Isn't that true? So we're not operating according to our strength. God actually gives us his strength. So we can do more. We can go beyond the normal mark. We can set the standard. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 18. This is a prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. How many people have you met that don't know what God has called them to? And I'm not even talking specific, I'm talking general. Gee, should I go to church or should I not go to church? What has God called us to? He called us, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, right? And he says, even in the end times, we need to provoke one another in love. I think we need to do some more provoking to people. You know? Today in the bookstore, we'll be selling brotherly love cattle prods. This verse says that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what he expects of us. Hope and expectation can be interchanged in the Bible. When it talks about hope, it's really talking about expectation. That is clear, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? So he wants you to know your calling. He wants you to know your inheritance. And he wants you to know his power. Notice how verse 19 ends. According to the working of his mighty power. See, his mighty power is at work in us, conforming us to be like Christ. He gives us all the equipment that we need to fulfill this calling, this general calling, this heavenly calling, this holy calling. Okay? So we're kind of running out of excuses. God wants you to know what goodness he has reserved for you. Did you know that God has got goodness stored up for you? But we're not tapping into the goodness because we're not walking worthy of our calling. How did Jesus walk on this earth What made him so powerful that when he spoke, things happened? Number one, he was perfect. He didn't commit any sin. He didn't even have a sin nature. Okay? Did you know that God calls us not to sin? We're free from the law of sin and death because now we have a law called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We can live our lives according to a different law. All right? So God will show you your future as you continue to follow him and walk with him. As you're walking with God, he's going to show you things. You know what? None of us have come into all the truth yet, but the Holy Spirit has been given to us to bring us into all truth. We're still being brought into truth. I'm still being brought into truth. I don't know it all yet. There's still things that I'm discovering about God and about what he has for me and about what he wants for me and about what he expects for me. Did you know that God has high expectations over you? He doesn't have low expectations. God did not come to bring us lower. He came to bring us higher. He came to take us out of the wilderness and into the promised land. We're not called to live our lives in Egypt. We're called to live our lives in Canaan. Canaan is all the promises that are in Christ Jesus, which are yes and amen. There's a lot of promises that we still need to walk in yet. So keep on walking. Did you know that you can understand what God's will is for you? There is no reason why someone who is walking with the Lord, fellowshipping with him, doing what he says to do, and you don't know what God's will is for your life. Because there's several places in the Bible where it talks about, he says he'll teach us his will. He wants to fill us with the knowledge of his will. You know, he gave us his Holy Spirit to show us what belongs to us. So, I mean, we have everything we need. We're just not walking in it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I want you to know that your circumstances do not limit your calling. Matter of fact, with God's calling, you can overcome your circumstances. Okay? This is powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 19. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. The outward stuff isn't nothing, but what really matters? Keeping the commandments of God. That's really what matters. Whether you're this or that, whether you're from here or there, it doesn't matter. What matters is, do you keep the commandments? Okay? Verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Are you called being a servant? Care not for it. But if you may be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. And I'm going to give you an example. Joseph. He was a slave after his brothers sold him into slavery, wasn't he? He became someone's property. Potiphar bought him from the Ishmaelites, right? And so he became a property of someone else, not by choice. Did he have a calling to greater things? He was called to dream. He was called to interpret dreams. Okay? As a slave, was he able to operate in what he was called to do? Absolutely. His circumstance did not interfere with his call. Matter of fact, through his call, he overcame his circumstance. Even though he was a slave, he did not think of himself as a slave, because he knew that he wasn't called to be a slave. He was called to be the Lord's free man. So as a slave, he did the best work that he could. He had good results. And what happened? He got promoted. He developed trust. His owner put him in charge. And here Joseph, the slave, could come and go in Potiphar's house as he pleased, because he did not think of himself as a slave. Do not think of yourself in your current circumstance, because that your current circumstance did not call you. The Lord calls you. He's above your circumstance, and he can change the circumstance that you find yourself in. Your circumstance can change by applying God's word, because if you get conformed to the circumstance, you'll never get out. And it's really how you think about it. See, you got to walk worthy of your call. You have to understand that no matter where you are in life, you have a heavenly calling and a holy calling, and it is through that call that you can come higher, you can break out, you can overcome, you can move mountains. But it's how you think about it in relation to you. Likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I can do anything I want. No, you can't. The very fact that you say you're a Christian means Christ is Lord. You can't do anything that you want. That means you have to deny yourself of some things to take on some things that Christ wants you to have. We have this mentality that we can live any way we want, do anything we want. No, we can't. We are submitted to Christ. We have to follow his orders. We have to do his commands. We are not Lord. He is. Therefore, verse 23, you are bought with a price. Be not the servant of men. Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. When we work, who is our work supposed to please? Ultimately. Okay? So, no matter what type of work we do, are we doing it to please God? Or are we doing it to please man? See, if you're doing it to please man, you're not following your holy calling. Man didn't call you. God did. So everything that we do, he says, whether we eat or drink, let us do it to please the Lord. Amen? This might shake us up a little bit tonight, but I think we need to be shook up a little bit. I think that the body of Christ, I think we all can improve in how we carry out our call. And I'm talking about being called to general things, being called to follow Christ, being called to his word, being called to holiness, okay? You can serve God in any state that you are. Did you know that there was a prophet who worked for Ahab that hid 100 prophets of Israel and fed them bread and water in a cave? He was working for a wicked king, but yet he still served the Lord. It's possible, but it's all how we think about it, how we carry ourselves. Okay? Daniel and his three friends, they were exiled into a foreign nation. They didn't buy a plane ticket and go to Babylon for a vacation. Their country was overtaken and they were forced to go to Babylon. They didn't have a choice. They couldn't say, They didn't ask Daniel, if you could pick anywhere you want to live, where would you live? Babylon was not one of his choices. But yet, they chose to keep God's commands, and him and his three friends excelled in a foreign country as exiles. How about that? It's possible. But it all depends on how we think about it, how we carry ourselves, how we behave, how we respond. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's go to verse 18. He says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." People who are perishing, when you tell them about what Jesus did on the cross, sometimes they think of it as foolishness. "But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Can everybody say, thank God? You don't have to be wise. You don't have to be noble. You don't have to be some special person. God called you because he loves you. That's why he called you. He thought you were special enough, and he died for you. He shed his blood for you, so you are worthy of his calling. "But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise." You know, there were several preachers that God used who had little worldly education, but yet the power of God. So, you know what? If Jesus thinks you're special, then don't ever disagree with him. All right? Don't ever disagree with God who thinks that you are special. Don't talk about yourself about, well, I'm not this, I'm not that, you know. No. You say, I'm a child of God. God chose me. God called me, and I'm serving him, and he's why I'm here. He's helping me. See the difference? That's how you need to think of yourself. Okay? Just agree with God. Finally, last scripture. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. "For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. For as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they may also obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon us all." So the thing that God has called you to, that will be in existence until you finish your life. And if you don't get to it, he will judge you at the end. The gifts and the calling of God. Notice he said calling. It's a calling to Christ. They're without repentance. God does not change his mind about what he's called you to and what he's called you to do. God is just waiting on you. He's waiting on you to obey. He's waiting on you. He said, well, I've called them. I'm just waiting for them to respond. I'm waiting for them to give my invitation back. I'm waiting for their RSVP. He's called you. It's without repentance. He's not going to change his mind. So if you live your life and you don't do what God's called you to do, it's not his fault. You say, we can't say, well, God, I didn't know. No, because, listen, he doesn't want to hide anything from you. He's a giver of good things. All good and perfect gifts come down from above. You know, that makes me excited. They're not irrevocable. God's called you. He's called you to Christ. He's called you to holiness. He's called you to do a work. You know, more importantly, he's called you to be. We got to be Christ to our relatives, to our coworkers, to our neighbors. Amen? So I will leave you with these words. You make your calling and election sure. You do your best to carry it out, to fulfill it, and to complete it until Jesus returns again. Just let's be like Jesus when he was 12. Didn't you know that I would be about my Father's business? At the age of 12, he had an inkling that there was some business that God had for him. Are we about the Father's business for us, for me? Amen? If you're not, get busy. God bless you. Father, we just give you thanks and praise that you have called us with a holy calling. You have called us with a heavenly calling. You have equipped us for all that we need to fulfill the call that you have for us. You've called us to Christ. You've called us to be conformed to the image of your Son. So, Father, I pray that you would strengthen each one of us. You would help us. And, Father, you would urge us on to fulfill your call and to be and to do and to go and to have all that you want us to have. In Jesus' name, amen.